welcome to EQ Above IQ, Parenting with Emotional Intelligence and Healing the Inner Child. My name is Trina Casey, and I'm your host, and I thank you for joining me. Today, I have a guest. It's been a while. I'm excited. Alexa N. Smith is a licensed general counselor in the state of Maryland. She's also a mindset coach and a U.S. global expat residing in Yucatan region of Mexico, like myself. She is the owner of Mental and Spirit Health Incubator, The Divine Perseverance. And after transforming from a life of perpetual self-improvement as a response to her childhood trauma, she has integrated the emotional, mental, and spiritual strategies she personally used for her healing with the professional training she received as a therapist. The result is Divine, D-I-V-I-N-E framework, a six-pillar mindset shifting process that she uses with her clients, which helps them gain a new compassionate awareness of who they are today, what they've overcome, and the confidence to manifest their dreams and desires without guilt or fear. I think it's worth a look. She, like myself, is a world traveler, so I'm sure this is going to be an interesting conversation. Hey, Alexa, welcome to EQ Above IQ, Parenting with Emotional Intelligence and Healing the Inner Child. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Oh, I'm excited to have you. So, Alexa, you just had some big things happen. You are like me, a traveling expat. Where are you right now?
So right now I am in Yucatan, the beautiful city of Merida, just right at the bottom half of the Gulf of Mexico. And yeah, I just got here. I actually went last year, but came back after I released some additional tethers to the U.S. And I can fully say that I am settled and here for a good time and a long time as well.
Oh, wonderful. So hables español.
I'm still working on it. So yeah, that's one of the things that I'm going to focus on in the next couple of months is getting a little bit more fluent. But you know, for the most part, I have my translate and I got the basics.
Yeah, well, that's all you need. Everybody speaks Spanish in Mexico at most part.
Exactly. So,
tell my audience about Alexa N. Smith. Who are you? What do you do? And yeah, tell my audience.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, so yeah, I'm Alexia. I am just a Southern girl born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. I was one of those, I always call myself a Benjamin Button. So I was born a very old soul. Didn't take many risks, kind of kept it quiet. And then as I got older, I just kind of evolved and blossom and just really stepped into who I was. And, you know, it kind of came after, you know, a beginning that was a little rough, a little strained. And so just over time, you know, just working on my own self, working on my own development, healing my inner child, which I know is what you focus on here. I was able to just really become the woman that I am now. And I am a coach. I'm also a licensed general therapist in the state of Maryland. The name of my company is The Divine Perseverance. The Divine Perseverance basically offers coaching services as well as counseling, as well as psychoeducation. I would say my ultimate goal, my passion is really helping goal-oriented women desiring to improve their careers, relationships, and life, really just gain a new compassionate awareness of who they are. Also of what they've overcome. And ultimately the goal is just to help them manifest their desires without guilt and without fear. And that's basically the work I do. And I love it. I'm so glad to be doing
this
work.
That's beautiful work. That's necessary work. I love that you use my favorite word, manifest. I'm always talking about manifesting.
I know,
Because I'm a strong believer that our inner child was the most profound manifester before he or she got pulled into the fog, I like to say, of what adulthood's supposed to be, either by another adult or some trauma. And I love that you talked about on my little fact sheet that you pointed out some childhood trauma. And would you be comfortable with discussing that? Because that's a huge part of my platform and how people overcome. And you also hit one of my other words, self-awareness, because that is the first of the five principles of emotional intelligence. So could you tell us a little bit about the trauma that you overcame?
Yeah. So, it was interesting. The trauma that I went through, I did not see it as trauma or something that happened to me until I was 30 years old, at least 30 or 20. And I found myself having just these patterns that I could not break, specifically related to romantic relationships. I found myself desiring relationships so strongly, but never being able to really pull it off, attracting people who didn't have the same love and attention that I gave. And, I ended up in therapy for that. That was my first time going to therapy with the intent to kind of process that. And so I get in therapy, and as the onion starts being peeled back, I discuss something that happened to me when I was 10 years old that I never discussed, never talked about it. So my mother and father divorced when I was six, and my mother got into a relationship with a gentleman who, now that I look back in retrospect, really isolated her and isolated us. And so they met in Atlanta. And I just remember, like, in the dead of night one day when I was about 10, my mom and my sister and I moving to Detroit in the middle of the night. And we never, we lost contact with everyone, et cetera. Then what became a year of just unfathomable abuse, it was physical, it was sexual, it was mental, there was torture involved. I mean, there was all kinds of things. And it culminated one night into him actually taking my mother's life. And the thing that was really poignant about it was because I was in the home when it happened. My sister and I were made to, quote unquote, attempt to awake my mother. He called us in the room and says, "Hey, see if you can get your mother to wake up," right? So the just how terrible he was to do that to such young children. Of course, we knew our mother was going to, we're young, but we're not stupid. We know somebody. So I'm seeing her dead body. We go through this whole process of, we go through this whole process of going through the courts. I have to go live with my grandmother now. My whole life is just uprooted. But I never talked about it. The thing I remember specifically is that once I got to my grandmother's home back in Atlanta, saying to myself, like, I got to prove that I'm okay. I got to prove I'm okay.
Isn't that?
And so it kind of happened. Yeah, that's kind of what happened. So such a poignant thing. And, I think that's part of the reason I do the work I do with women now, because a lot of times the things that occur, sometimes they're unconscious and we don't even realize. And I think I was a perfect example of that. I had no clue. I was not able to understand the sexual abuse, the trauma, the torture, all of this kind of stuff. And even worse, the beliefs I formed about love and relationships as related to that. So,
It's really, and first of all, I feel for you. It's your story is so normal, unfortunately, within our community, African-American community. I experienced a bit of what you are talking about as well as part of my journey in wanting to do what I do and heal the way that I heal. So it resonates with me, and I have the deepest empathy for that situation because that's painful.
Yeah.
And what I found interesting is that it wasn't until your 30s that you kind of cued in and like, something ain't right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And it's interesting because I just did an episode about the divide between Black men and women and where I feel it comes from. And it comes from a deep mental illness that we've been suppressing as a community and a culture because we have been through so much trauma.
Absolutely.
And our, what is the model for us? We have to be strong.
Mm-hmm. And
strong Black woman.
Yep. Keep pushing through.
Exactly. And we don't give ourselves the space or compassion to be vulnerable and to say, wow, I'm hurt. I'm really hurt by this. And also that includes the men, you know, when you're talking about the man that would eventually murder your mom and put you through all that trauma. How many stories have you heard like that? Of Black men, I mentioned Aretha Franklin. I mentioned Bob. So many. Whitney Houston,
yes.
Billie Holiday, Etta James. The story is just on repeat.
And then we even just think about the in our own families. Like we can definitely like look in every corner and know that this is happening, and we just. Keep pushing through is the thing, not knowing the damage that's happening. Yeah.
Well, you know, ancestrally, you know, generationally, African Americans, we didn't get the space to grieve our losses. We didn't get the space to be weak, to be sick, to be anything. And so, you know, other than slaves and mules and, you know, and unfortunately that also reaches into other communities. They just lack the awareness
that
that is the case, you know.
And I think that's kind of part of the reason, like the work I do with the women I serve, and like, you know, I actually use a specific framework with all of my clients. It's called the divine manifestation framework. And divine is actually an acronym. You know, each letter stands for something. And, you know, when you talk about awareness, one of the first things I do with my clients in step one, the letter D, is to help them discern and disrupt the fears and the things that happen with them so they can understand what it is. Because just being, I mean, like the thing is, when I finally went to therapy for that and I started talking about it, it opened me up. In a way, and it allowed me to really, it's just like, it was almost like this weight was lifted because I always felt like there was some barrier, but I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, to have that awareness lifted this barrier, which is why I think it's so important to have that awareness and why that's one of the first things I do with any of my clients who come through my programs or do I work with as therapists.
Okay. So the first one again is D.
D stands for discern and disrupt the fears and the situations that are unconsciously affecting your life.
Okay. And then the I, let's go through them all.
Yeah, sure. And so I, and this gets into the starting stages of healing.
Mm-hmm.
I is integrating a grace practice for all areas of your life. And you know, I'll admit a lot of people skip this step. But the thing is, I found consistently with the clients that I work with and the ones who I see really access the real life transformation and healing their inner children and just really being able to manifest their life is that they give themselves grace for what they didn't know, you know? Because the thing is that, you know, no one wants to be miserable. No one wants to be in these terrible relationships. No one wants to lack confidence in themselves. No one wants to stay in situations past their expiration date, but they do. Why? And I think it speaks to kind of what you said. And I love that you touched on this. You know, I read an amazing book called What Happened to You by Dr. Bruce Perry and Oprah. And this is stuff I knew, but yes, it was an amazing book.
Yeah, I read it.
You read it too? Okay, so I know you read it. That's why I just like, I already know you read it because we read it. But you know how it talks about how, you know, these experiences really just get into your DNA, because as children, everything is being built and wired at this rapid stage, at rapid pace, and it's laying kind of like a foundation for how you operate.
Yep.
And so, you know, for me, a lot of the times I have to remind people that I know that you don't want to be like, and the thing is that life is beating you up because you lack the boundaries. It's beating you up because you're having your inner child just run crazy without any support or love. I get that, but it's not going to help if you beat her up too.
You right need to start beating her up too. Right there. You need to start. You need to slow down.
Yeah.
Embrace her. And give her, as you say, grace, I call it compassion. You need to give yourself some self-compassion, because none of this crap is your fault.
Exactly. And so that's why, you know, I feel like that is such an important piece. And, you know, you would think that's an easy piece, but it's not. No. Especially as a Black woman, because we expect that we're supposed to be strong. We're supposed to be okay. We're supposed to all this kind of stuff. And that's where the fear and anxiety comes in, because it's the thing that's like, oh, I'm not hitting my targets. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. All this kind of stuff. And it just wrecks us, and it wrecks our self-esteem. So it's just like, no, stop. Give yourself grace. Some of this is in your DNA. Some of this is like so automatic to you that it's like blinking your eye.
It's like,
so why would you give yourself a hard time for that?
Exactly. It's like waking. I still struggle with that. I write about it all the time. I journal. I'm a certified cognitive behavioral therapy coach. So I really believe that journaling piece and the writing the truth versus the lies versus the truth about yourself, giving yourself the space to see your humanity and to forgive yourself. In those processes, forgive yourself for not forgiving yourself sometimes, you know, it's just like, it's a constant automatic response. Let me fix it, because that's also the expectation placed upon us, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing is, the beautiful thing is that we're really good at it. We're really good at it. And so we can get a false sense of pride in something that is actually harming us. At the same time.
And I think to the point where you say we're really good at it, I think that's, you know, that's kind of the interesting thing, because another thing that I know to be true is that the things that you did to survive may not be the things that you can continue to do to thrive. So I recognize that sometimes the over independence I have, sometimes I recognize the, you know, this need to just be amazing and everything, top student, top this. And it wasn't even just mentally and like career-wise, I mean, body-wise, you know, I love to share with people that, you know, for a very long time, I suffered with a lot of body image issues. I am a recovered person who had an eating disorder when I was very young. These are some of the things that I did to cope with my trauma. But even then, it was like, I gotta look this way, I gotta look that way, and all these kind of things. And so it's just kind of like, we have to be careful in the midst of that, to know that, you know, don't beat yourself up about a destination. Enjoy your journey. Give yourself grace and peace and compassion in your journey as you're getting to have a better understanding of who you're meant to be.
Exactly. You know, what you're describing to me is hypervigilance. That's something that has been gaslit to us, that we can't relax. As a community, we can't relax.
It kills us. And that's the thing. I think that people don't realize that it is a slow killer. It's not something that, you know, and I think that's the thing that makes people not catch it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't pay attention to it. But just because it doesn't happen like a snap, like it's not like a gunshot coming out of a barrel, it eventually kills people. You know, yep, there are people who have died.
It's called hypertension. It's called hypertension.
Right.
That's when you start having heart attacks and strokes, and you're not thinking about what you're putting in your body because you're just starving. Yeah. Throw sugar, everything else. It's all connected. It's all connected. So you described the I. Now the divine. I love this.
Thank you. Yes.
Stand for.
So V actually stands for embracing the value of divine time. While you're on this journey. And, you know, I say divine timing because I think that this is a concept, regardless of, you know, what religion, creed, whether you're atheist, Christian, whatever the case is, at the end of the day, whether it's God, a higher power, whether it's you, whether it's your ancestors, whether it's your inner knowing, there is something greater working than just you walking around in this meat suit. It's just, you know, and again, I think the beautiful thing about this step in my framework is that I allow my clients to identify what that is. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's not the corporate definition that is given to you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's music. Sometimes it's movement. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's family, all these kind of things, you know? And so embracing the value of divine time also, it does two things. Allows you to give yourself that grace. Mm-hmm. But it also removes the hypervigilance over time. Because what it's letting me know that, okay, I know that where I am right now is in the greater scheme of things. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be in this moment, okay? Mm-hmm. Whether it sucks, whether it's a good thing, whatever the case is, if I'm trusting the divine time and stuff, I'm right exactly where I need to be. And so since I know where I need to be, I can give myself grace and I can give myself patience and I can do the meaningful inner work of healing my inner child, of forgiving myself, et cetera, and removing that anxiety, removing that stress or whatever the case is, allows you to better do the work. Because you can't, you know, as a therapist, regardless of what I'm working with on someone, If you're in a state of crisis, I can't help you. I have to deal with the crisis first, right? I think people don't understand that, you know, this anxiousness and this need to just be always on is a crisis because no one can be happy in their present. No one can give grace. No one's enjoying a journey. It's just, I'm going to be happy when I get here.
Right.
And
You know what it is that I've worked with people who just are so focused on the end result.
Yes.
Rather than being fully present on what's going on in their body and in their current life situation, what is their triggers, what is really going on? Because, you know, it's amazing, even as a coach or a therapist, you're also in that state as well all the time with the people you're working with, because we're all sharing space. We're all sharing energy with each other. And so sometimes I can even feel myself get a little bit like that, you know, and then I have to breathe. Okay. Cause I really, you know, like you, I really want to help people. Because I know that healing process is going to heal, not just them, it's going to heal everybody. I always say that our interstate reverberates to everyone. So like if everybody goes within to heal, we can heal what's going on without. We got a lot of healing on the outside.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing. And so like, and you know, I would say that one of the promises of my divine framework is ultimately being able to recognize what's going on underneath the surface, but also build confidence that you can overcome it, which is why the value of divine timing is so important, because I think it also helps us recognize what we've overcome. You know, I saw this really good meme that said, you know, as you disrupt generational curses, do not forget to embrace the generational gifts. Right. You know, and so even in the midst of all the things that have happened, you know, the resilience, the fact that you're still here, the fact that somehow I still to this day sometimes think to myself, depending on what's going on, I'm a little Black hood girl from Atlanta, Georgia, like the original Atlanta, Georgia, before it became popular. I grew up in some of the most crazy places. I joke about being a reformed hood rat, and I was, you know what I mean? Because the thing is that that's where I started. But the thing is that I love every experience that I went through,
right?
Because it made me who I am. And right. It makes me appreciate that I'm where I am now. You know what I mean? And I think that's why it's so important to just recognize everything is happening in the divine timing as you heal. So the thing is as you're walking away from that job that no longer serves you, as you're walking away from those relationships, as you're learning to put boundaries up, as you're learning to do all of these things, just trusting that being in this muck right now is really the catalyst of what's to come. Yeah. And so that's why you got to trust that every step of it, even the murky stuff, is all connected to your higher good. It's in divine timing.
And, you know, it's interesting. You said murky waters. I've been a Buddhist for 20 plus years. And yes. We always say the lotus flower grows best. The most beautiful flower glows in the murky waters.
Murky water.
You know, that beautiful blossoming lotus
yes.
can only grow in murky yeah. waters. So yeah. that's great.
And, you know, it's so interesting because my logo for the Divine Perseverance is a lotus flower.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically because, you know, and the reason the divine perseverance is that you're persevering through all of this stuff, but it is really divinely set up for you. And mm-hmm. like, you know, I think about the work that you're doing, the work that I'm doing. I would not have ever thought someone as broken as me could help people heal. But here I am.
isn't that the truth? And you know what?
Yeah.
But that's how it always works. What you're talking about, I call the purpose. Our purpose
yeah.
is always connected to where and what we need to do. And then when you wake up that one morning and it's like a light bulb goes on and then you can't think of anything else
yeah.
but yeah. to do that. Nothing else is going to make you feel at peace rather than
yeah.
doing that. And, you know, COVID threw a curveball in my business. I know it probably did.
It sure did. Yeah.
But I also think that was purposeful. And the mm-hmm. folks who orchestrated this mess, as they do every 100 years or so, knew exactly what was going to happen to us entrepreneurs. So go ahead, make people listening. Go to
yeah.
small businesses. We need your support.
mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, and that's the thing, you know, I got to say, like, the pandemic, and, you know, I'm a grief counselor. I'm a bereavement counselor part-time. I do bereavement for a hospice in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the hospices and, you know, those type of environments got really hit so hard with COVID. And so, and it was really quite a juxtaposition for me because although I was holding space and caring for the family members who were left after those people who died and still do, you know, but for me, it was really, just like you said, an opportunity. I found myself last year really saying to myself, this fear, it can't run me anymore. Because the thing is that I would continue to wait until next year to do X, Y, Z. Or
exactly.
I'm going to do it next month. And I'm going to be in a better place. And now, for whatever reason, in my mind, it kind of said to me, like, if I can't get it done during a damn pandemic that no one would have thought would have happened,
mm-hmm.
this is one of the most scariest things I've ever seen. I've never even, you know, everything I know about life, everything, friendships were disrupted. I mean, last year shook everything up.
Yeah.
So for me, it was just like, you know, okay, how long are you going to continue to let these fears of what might happen, or better yet, what may happen, hold you back? And so I think this whole thing was really part, you know, like I hate to say it, Not really. I'll say it proudly. It was the part of the divine timing. Some of us needed this to happen to them. Exactly. I needed it to happen to them.
Exactly.
I needed it. Because, or not, I can't imagine would I be sitting here in front of you today doing my own business, doing the work I love, taking a step back from these toxic environments, living in a country that was living and moving from a country that was no longer giving me any type of love and didn't want me there. Ooh. You know, that took some fierce confidence and disrupting of some fear to do. And so that's why I'm so compassionate about this. It's like, you know, I'm not only the president, I am the client.
I always tell my I'm an English teacher as well. I used to tell my students and I've been doing this travel thing for a long time. So very long time. So like when I lived in Italy, I used to have these great groups of Italians, and they'd be so curious because I was a Black woman in Italy teaching them English. I was just like a unicorn of a unicorn. They've seen nothing like that. And so I would tell them things, and I've always been on the spiritual path. So I'd use Eckhart Tolle for my reading material. I use music for comprehension and get in these deep philosophical conversations. So I'd say, you know what? When I remind you, I remind myself. And that is one of the beauties of the coaching and teaching and even the writing journey that I've been doing. You know, it's just writing those ideals and expressions down and talking to people on a more profound level that actually reminds me of my own humanity.
And,
you know, being imperfect is perfectly okay, you know?
Yes. So, and, you know, it's so funny that you talk about, you know, being imperfect, because that kind of leads into four. The I, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, actually, I guess it goes into five, but, you know, we'll start with four, where the letter is I. Mm-hmm. And it's instituting ethical self-centeredness as a daily practice. Now, I say ethical self-centeredness. Yes.
And this I like that.
Yes. I say, and you know, this takes care of the guilt. This takes care of the shit, okay?
Because you can't be a selfish MF is what you're saying. You can take care of yourself, but don't be an a-hole about it.
Right, exactly. And I think the bigger part of it, because us as women, how many decisions did we not make because we were afraid it was going to affect someone else? Or how many decisions that we stayed away from because we were afraid it was going to affect someone else, all these kind of things. However, while you're worrying about the other person, you are just getting drugged through the mud, you know, or you're just in this situation where you're not getting what you need.
Getting your needs met. You meet everybody else's needs, but you ain't getting
your needs met.
That's a woman thing.
But in a way, that's also a fear. Fear of how you're going to be received, fear how you're going to, all this kind of stuff. So instituting ethical self-centeredness. When I say ethical self-centeredness, this is basically saying, like, okay, I know you want to take care of everybody else. That's us. That's our nature. Okay. Mm-hmm. But what you want to do is just think about the things that serve you first, that make you whole first, that give you joy first, that make you you, right? And if at any time there is something that challenges or hurts that, or puts a barrier in front of you, you ask yourself, okay, how can I tend to this need ethically? And so that removes the guilt, because the thing is that if I'm in, let's say, for example, a terrible relationship with someone, but I know this person doesn't have anybody else in their life, right? And like, oh my God, if I leave this person, what are they going to do and all this kind of stuff? Okay. But the thing is that, okay, but this isn't working for you. So if you leave this person, you aren't doing it maliciously. You aren't doing them to leave them out in the cold. You are just centering yourself, taking care of yourself, and you have to do it. So because you're doing it with good heart, you are doing it ethically.
Right.
And I think, and you know, this is something I work with my clients, because I think a lot of times that is a barrier, just feeling like, and, you know, in this society, we're always told like, you know, oh, you know, think about everybody else. And I think there's some truth to that. We're all connected. But what I do know for sure is that I cannot manifest anything for myself if I'm not whole, if I'm not taken care of, and I am not honoring my divine purpose. And so sometimes there are some things that I'm going to have to choose for myself in order for me to fulfill what I'm supposed to. And so for that reason, it's ethical, because I'm choosing myself out of love for myself and appreciation for myself. And if someone responds terribly to it, that's your problem, because I was ethical about it. I wasn't trying to hurt you.
I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to abandon you. You know, this is so perfect, because I also say something similar to parents, because one of the hardest things is for parents, particularly mothers, to take care of themselves when they're mothering, because there's so much gaslighting around what it is to be a good mother. And that usually, is, oh my God, if I walk away to take care of myself, to take a shower, to go get a massage, to just say, hey, I need a time out and my child needs me, I'm a bad parent. And that's why, you know, one of the most sinful things that our culture and our society has done to mothers is broken away our support systems that we used to have as a community. Yeah. And, you know, our sisters, our grandmas, it's just not the same the way we used to support each other in a tribe.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and hospitals took over where there were doulas and people coming in, bringing you food those first months so you could sleep and your body could heal and you could do all those things. Those things have gone away. I was alone. I was alone with my child. My mom wouldn't fly out. My sister was too young. And the women that were around me were not supportive enough, if let's put it that way. And that was, it's just a hard time, and it puts a strain on your relationship too, because you're asking your partner to be both your support physically, mentally, and emotionally, and you know, pick up something they're just not that good at. They're just not good at that. Yeah. Capacity.
Yeah.
And they can protect you physically, you know, males, that is, if you're in this cis relationship. And it's so, so difficult. So I always encourage people, well, first of all, to reach out. And if you don't have a support system, if you're reaching out, you're looking for support, it's even harder. It's really harder. So it's a tough time.
And, you know, it's a tough time. Yeah. And I think that that's, you know, it's so, and I think part of the reason why I enjoy doing group work too, ancestrally, we're supposed to be together and supporting each other. We're not built and created, especially if you're a Black woman, especially if you're a person of color. We do not operate like this, you know? No. And, but I think that's also why it's even more important for you as you go through this healing process to prune the fat of the things that are no longer serving you, so the people who are, who can support and will support, can find their way to you.
Yeah, because you have to make space. You got to make space.
You have to make space for them.
Yeah, for people to come to my life. So
yeah, and you know, it's so funny because you know, I'll have conversations with people who are like, oh, I don't have a support system. You know, someone like, I don't have a support system. You know, someone's not, you know, I'm all by myself or whatever the case is, but I can't get them to understand how there are other people in their circle that's draining all of their life energy from them. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, have you ever thought that maybe they just can't find you? They can't reach you.
So, because you've been isolated. You know, one of the things that you brought up in your story is that most abusers or narcissistic people will isolate you away from your support system.
Yeah.
And that can make it very, very difficult to, to balance. So anyway, so we have give me in. What's in?
Yes, in. So in is nurturing your confidence. And I think that nurturing your confidence comes to, and this is where it comes to the perfection piece. Mm-hmm. Nurture your confidence by centering progress over perfection. Mm. So, you know, as you're starting to do this process of, you know, just, okay, yes, giving myself grace, trusting that everything is happening in divine time. You know, I'm trying to make sure I'm making better choices for myself. A lot of this is very different for people, you know, mm-hmm. and especially if you're someone who is used to the chaos, or not even used to the chaos, again, someone who has that trauma DNA or that fear DNA or that anxiety DNA, it's almost very uncomfortable. And so one of the things that I have found through the work that I've done with women is really to help move them away from the perfection, or as you mentioned in the beginning, this real focus on the end goal, mm-hmm. and just kind of really like, look at the progress that you're making. Mm-hmm. Nurture that confidence by doing that. I'm one of those people, if you're a client of mine, the littlest thing I am setting off fireworks for, especially if I know that it's a little thing that's moving you closer to that end goal that you have been stressing over. Because the thing is, a lot of times we don't even see how we're getting closer because we're so focused on the end goal. Mm-hmm. So look at the progress you're making. Look at the choices you make. You know, people who are in bad relationships, I'll tell someone, like, the fact that you're even having a conversation about the fact that you want to get out is even its progress.
That's the progress.
The fact that you're reading about it now, the fact that you're seeking resources, you know, all these kind of things, this is progress. You know, even, you know, doing a program, you know, getting a coach, getting a therapist, whatever the case is, you might be on your first couple of sessions, couple of weeks, whatever, and feeling like nothing's working, but it's working. You're progressing because some months ago, you weren't doing that. Some months ago, you didn't have the awareness.
I always say to people, do you know how long it took for you to get programmed to be where you are? This place you don't want to be? Now, let's think about it in that way. Now, don't beat yourself up that tomorrow this is not working. Or maybe something worked and then next week it stopped working. It was a lot of years to make you get to a point where you said, I don't like who I am, or I don't like how my life is. So give yourself, like you said, the grace.
That grace, yeah.
And that time that is going to incrementally shift, because it's not going to happen over time. So just that win, celebrate those little things, like you said, because I sometimes, like this morning, I said, I made my bed. I didn't feel like doing that.
Yes. Right.
I said, exactly. I made my bed. Whoop.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Yeah. That's a win. That's an automatic thing that I got in my head to do when I was younger. That was not a priority for me. You know,
absolutely.
I mean? It was actually a resistance. And
And you know, it just makes me think, I don't know if you remember on Instagram the other day, I posted like after Instagram and everything went off, like, look, y'all don't tell us about what. Yes, I know we're not supposed to use Instagram only. Yes, I know we're not supposed to use WhatsApp only. All these internet bullies coming out of the woodwork, you know, shaming people because they use primarily Instagram or WhatsApp. But you don't see that young woman who's been working and just got the website launched and is still being developed. You don't see the woman who's still putting together her framework, all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, especially in our society with the way social media is, there are a lot of people who will get discouraged. So that's why with that nurture your confidence, that progress over perfection, that is something that must continue. Even after my clients stop working with me, to always center that. So you can one day, you know, if you get up and all you do is make that bed. The old me, the anxious Alexia, the overwhelmed, the, you know, want to be perfect. I would be stressed out over just, you know, I didn't get a chance to finish everything on the list. I didn't get a chance to do all this kind of, and it was killing me. it was killing me. I was tired. I was sick. I was overwhelmed. No, not anymore. And I don't think any of us deserve to live like that. We're doing fine.
Woo, that's the thing, is that our culture is set up that way. And that's my biggest takeaway about moving abroad.
Yeah.
The beauty of moving into a different culture and society is you can see how they flow and operate so much differently than the United States. In Italy, when I first lived there, I was irritated about how slow the service was. I was like, they ever gonna come over here? And they're always like, what you in a hurry about? Slow food, good food. Take it right. Why are you eating so fast? And it's true, you know, you eat fast, you're actually messing up your digestion. You're supposed to chew your food. Right. You're supposed to enjoy the experience, because it's all an energetic experience. Yeah. And that's why everyone in America is having stress, obese. We're not tasting the food that's going in our mouth. Because once you start to taste, you start to go.
Start tasting everything.
What's that chemical? What is that?
Right.
Exactly. I ate some. Ew, what is that? I got some popcorn that came in with my stuff. This is a funny story. I had some popcorn, in the packaging. And it was actually from Amsterdam, where I moved from. But it's very similar to the U.S. It's same kind of mentality, system, everything. It's not that much different. So I had this box of popcorn, and I popped it for my son and his friend. And I took a bite of it, and I said, that don't taste right. Maybe it's just me, because my hormones, my taste buds, everything off. So I said, okay. So I put it down there. And his little friend who lives here, goes to school with, tasted, and he said, Miss, this doesn't taste right. It tastes like a chemical. And I said, then it's not just me. Let me throw this in the trash. It's a box of instant popcorn that you throw in the microwave. But we both, once you start to taste, or you get away from the normalization of fast, convenient, everything, you start to taste your food again and recognize what's not healthy for you. And it's the same thing with your life.
And I think that, also excess, I think that's one of the biggest things that came away from me as I made my move. And I think that that's also one of the things that if I talk about, the E, everything just flows perfectly. So I'll say the E. The E is embracing your confidence and manifesting. Right? Embrace the confidence and manifesting. And one thing about confidence, you're willing to do things that you wouldn't do before, or you're willing to do things that other people might look at you crazy for, right?
Yes.
And so, but the thing is, if you know that that's something that you need and that you want, and you're giving yourself grace, you understand, what fears are holding you back, all these kind of things, you really start getting clear to see what stuff is kind of a setup, what's kind of a scam. And you kind of say, I know for me, leaving the US and coming here to Mexico, and just trying to live a more transient lifestyle. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I remember was so difficult for me was getting rid of all of my stuff, right? But once I started, it was, Trina, it was something that just really just made me just think like, wow, how much value did I put on myself that was in my stuff, right?
Oh, I know, right?
And do I really need 50 pairs of shoes? Do I really need these? Do I really need this? And, as I started, and, this was a plan that I've always had, so again, divine timing, because I knew I was going to leave the States 10 years ago, right? That was my, it just happened to happen last year. But, it's like, every time I get a paycheck, I owe somebody. Every time I get a paycheck, I got to pay this person, and I pay for this car, and I got to pay for all this kind of stuff. And so, for me, what kind of started opening up was I don't want to live that way. I kind of don't want to live where I'm stuck in a particular place. I am, I'm married to having to always owe somebody, always having to be in one place. And I got rid of my car. The way that people looked at me, the way that people looked at me, the way
how could you give it up? Oh my God, you worked so hard for that.
Yes.
Really.
But then
hard.
The thing is that, you know, again, it's just like the freedom that I have found and just willing to be able to find the confidence to say some of the things that are given to us, the corporate idea of success, the corporate idea of religion, the corporate idea of whatever. If the more you spend time with yourself and you deprogram all of the programming that you have gotten, the more you realize that there are some decisions that just aren't for you and you're just doing them because that's what you think you're supposed to do.
Because of this, you see my eyes get white, status quo. Yes. Status quo.
Yes.
And people thought I was crazy because, you know, I did this move several years ago. So I'm almost, gosh, dang. Let's see, on and off almost 20 years.
Yeah, okay, wow. Yeah.
Let me think about
yeah.
this. Yeah, it's 17, 16 years of, of not being the patriot or not being the typical American. My, you know, my family thought they still think I lost my mind. But the interesting part is that now as everything is going on in the world, especially COVID, the tune has changed about it. I wish I'd done that. I wish I could do that. How did you do that? Why did, I mean, gosh, I'm just scared. You know, the conversation has changed. And I said, well, the fear is what gets you. This is the whole system is set up around a programming fear that you just won't live the way that you're supposed to.
And you know, that is what my work is about. Again, my disrupt unconscious fears, because there are so many things that have been just, and I really feel, and again, you know, I'm not just pulling this out the head, you know, again, this is what I went through. This is what I work with clients. I've seen so many people do it. Once you can just kind of get to the root of what those unconscious fears are, when you're able to just kind of be like, okay, this is where I am.
Yeah.
Give yourself the grace. You know, you kind of look at the timing. You talk about 20 years. The thing is that I started talking about leaving the U.S. just that long, like, you know, 15 years ago. But my fear, I can't do it. I don't know how. And da, 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 da.
Well, you also have reinforcing voices saying you can't. So it's not even your fault that you knew, you knew vibrationally, energetically that you wanted to go. What it is that you had too many other people who you love, admire, trust, or whatever, telling you the same thing. Because people want to be, people lose their comfort with you when you transition to a different place or a different, and that's not just location, that's vocation, that's spirituality, that's all of it. Once you transition and you change your vibration, you want to vibrate higher, people want to unconsciously, they're not trying to do it to harm you, unconsciously hold you where they're comfortable with you.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, I think that, you know, again, the women who come to work with me a lot of times, it's like, you know, and again, these are goal-oriented women. We're all goal-oriented women who, you know, we do our vision boards, we write in our journals, we manifest, we do all this kind of stuff, but for whatever reason, that job has been kicking your tail for 5 years and you're still there. That man is not changing, hasn't changed, and you're still there. That apartment, they have not fixed that leak. They have not gotten rid of the roaches and you are still there. There are so many things that would just stay there. And so that's why, again, like, you know, it's just like it does. And that's why I love the framework that I came up with, because it really takes you through each of those steps.
And, beautiful.
And again, I am a client. I had to do it. I did it for years. And the thing is that this is an ongoing thing. Every day I still have to check myself about, Alexia, are you giving yourself grace? Alexia, you're exactly where you need to be. Alexia, what's the best choice for you? Alexia, you're making progress. Don't focus on perfection. This is ongoing. And then sometimes you just need somebody to kind of help you get started. And I'm so glad that I had the discernment to get into therapy, to go to coaching. I had a spiritual coach, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, in the beginning, I didn't have the money to invest in this stuff. Remember, I was living out, you know, there was a period of time I was living out of my sister's closet, but focusing on the progress, I started reading, I started going online, I set the seeds, and I sit here now for seeds that were set a long time ago. And that's why, regardless of what's coming for me next, and I hope to teach the people I work with, whatever's coming for you next, you are setting the foundation now. You just have to just disrupt the fear and just have the confidence that you can do it.
Right.
And trust that everything that happened before that is a part of the plan.
Right. Right.
Trust that.
That's the thing, is that I'm the, you know, I do affirmations, and I swear they work, because I liken affirmations to daydreaming when you were a little kid, because it was effortless. It was unconscious. Yeah. And so, you know, I just kind of loop things in my head. I got my son saying, everything that I need is all that I have. Everything that I have is all that I need. Everything that I desire, I will receive, because my reality is created by me. And I heard somebody else saying it on, I think it was TikTok. And I was like, I even made a video about it. You know, I was like jamming to, yes, everything that I need, I already have it, you know, because it's something that you cannot force.
Yes.
You know, you can't change, attract things. They talk about it in The Secret. They talk about it, but what these multi-billionaires and millionaires don't tell you is that every day, we call it, you can have a vision board, whatever you want, they visualize what they see their day is going to be and what their future is going to be in incremental bits of time. And so if you are actually doing that, and I am doing it with my child, I do it with parents, I say, listen, even though the relationship is not exactly the way that you want it to be, visualize how you would like it to be with your child. As they're going through their transitions, they're going to go through their moods, they're going through their biological responses to things. Just visualize what you want it to be, because I did that. My relationship with my child is vastly different than my relationship was with my mother. Vastly. And it's beautiful.
Yes.
It's beautiful to see that difference, even when I'm having a bad day, because I have bad days. And I say, listen, come sit with me. Sorry I said that the way that I did. I never got it.
How amazing is that?
You did.
How amazing is that? Like, you know, and that's part of the reason why, as adults, when someone from our past comes back and says a sorry, and you go back, because that 10-year-old needed that sorry, that inner 10-year-old needed I love you. And so for you to be giving that to your child now, just like you said, that this is changing generation after generation.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so beautiful. And it's just so
wonderful. I woke up one day before I had him and said, I'm going to change this. I will not repeat the patterns that I have learned, that's been passed on. And so whatever I have to do to heal, I'm going to heal. And I had this conversation with my belly when I was out to here. And I talked to him about it, and I said, I'm going to do better than what was done for me. And not, you know, some people take that as, oh, well, your mom did her best. She did better probably than what her mother did, but it still comes with pain and trauma and an unconsciousness. And I think that's the biggest piece. When you become self-aware, that's when the biggest leaps of of change can happen. So many times we're just walking so unaware. So when you say, I'm doing this with awareness, like I have these many conversations with myself all day. And I love what you said about taking care of yourself, because I say, what have I done to make me feel good about me today? You know, because if I don't do at least one thing that makes me feel good about me, then it's going to come to him in a negative way. It's going to fall on him in a negative way, because I need to take care of myself in order to care for him. And yesterday we got a couples massage for the first time.
I'm going to get a massage this afternoon once I get off from you, actually. So
you know what's the beautiful thing? Now, listener, let me explain something to you. We're not balling. I'm not balling.
Look.
I'm not balling. I made you sound like I'm balling. But here's the thing. You travel, you get a better price for these needs. These are seen as needs, not luxuries.
Exactly.
In the United States, it's a luxury.
If y'all knew how much I'm about to pay for this facial, manicure, pedicure, massage right now, everybody would be mad at me.
I tell you. It ain't even a drop in the bucket.
It's not a drop in the bucket. You can't believe it.
So he got his first massage. He said, Mom, that was fun. Because he's at this stage of doing his peer group is everything right now. You know, he finally hit that stage. We're hit a really nice rhythm at the school that he's with. So he likes it. And he's made some good friends. So they all about this Fortnite world. He knows I hate it.
Oh, yeah.
Fortnite. I'm not a fan. If I didn't have to be on social media, I wouldn't be on social media. Just put it that way.
Right.
Because I'm really at this place in my life where I don't want to compete.
Yeah.
I don't want to
compete. And social media breeds competition.
It breeds competition. And I just want to do what I love to do, what I'm good at doing. And create the connections and the healing that I know is so important for us to shift the global energy and vibration and dynamic for everyone. So social media is the venue. And a part of me is annoyed that I have to do it.
I try to talk about being a Zennial. So like I'm trapped between Zennial and Millennial and Generation X. And that's this thing. It's like, you know, I started out without it and now I kind of grew into it.
Yes.
And then it's like, well, I don't wanna, but then it's like, okay.
Yeah. Here I am. Dragging my feet. Let me do this.
That is one of the beautiful, the one thing I can say that's really beautiful is being able to, because the thing is, someone's going to listen to your podcast and it's going to spark the progression we're talking about. Because they're going to be feeling like they're not getting anywhere and they're going to hear some gems and the things that you speak about and the stuff that you cover, whether it's with their children, with their, you know, their families, with all these kind of things. And it's, how else would we have gotten that unless we had to go grab, you know, get on the radio, pull out the newspaper, and now you can just go click, click, click. And so even though I'm dragging my feet, I'm here.
You know, I drop my buckets. Like I said, I attract, I don't chase. And so if you people out there are listening and have been listening to my podcast for the now, third season. This is going to be episode 13 or 14, I think. And I'm so grateful to the thousands now of listeners that I did not expect. So if anything, this is an example of incremental success over time when you actually just pour yourself into something that you love. And I do love bringing on beautiful guests like Alexia and others to talk about their journey and what they did in order to heal themselves, because this is about healing that child, because we're all just children walking around in adult suits, pretending we got it all figured out while we spread our trauma to everyone we meet especially our children, if you have children. And if you don't have children, it's your partner or somebody else. Okay, so Alexia, this has been such a beautiful conversation. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story and everything else. I know you have inspired somebody who's listening. You've definitely inspired me. And please keep doing what you want to do. And if people want to find you to talk to you about your coaching, specifically to women, tell them where to find you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you can find me on reluctantly social media, but of course, my social media handles on Instagram and Facebook is I am Alexia Nicole Smith. So my whole government, I am Alexia Nicole Smith. You can also go to my website, which is The Divine Perseverance, The Divine Perseverance. I'm from the country, so sometimes I say the. So THEDivinePerseverance.com. I actually have a beautiful, beautiful meditation on how to bring unconscious fears conscious. It's a free download. If you sign up for my email list, I'll send it right to your inbox. It's one of the first steps in my divine framework. And yeah, I just hope that you get your healing by any means necessary. And if there is fear there, just do it scared.
Yes, That's right. Exactly. Well, thank you. And I'm going to wish you a very blessed day. And reach out to Alexia, people. And you have a blessed day too. Wow, that was such a great conversation I had with Alexia Nicole Smith. She is doing great things along the lines of emotional intelligence and really helping women find their way through their inner child trauma, just like I do on the parenting side and the inner child side as well. So it's so great to know that other people are out there in the same purpose as I am. It gives me hope that we can change the dynamic of the world if more and more people are willing to go inward to heal rather than pointing the finger outward to people who are not responsible for their happiness. You know what I mean? I know that sometimes that's hard on a co-parenting situation. I struggle with that. But you know what? At the end of the day, the joy that you find in your life is your responsibility. And sometimes you have to let people out and let people go in order for that to happen. But there's always a lesson there. So keep going, people, and keep learning. And please keep listening to EQ Above IQ. And maybe we can make some shifts together. I hope you all have a blessed day.